All right, we are here in Psalm 40, but I do have a couple of verses if I could get somebody to look up this evening. First one is Hebrews 11, verse 5. There's only two different ones, so Hebrews 11, 5 is the first one. Kevin, thank you. And the other one is 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 16. 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 16. Any volunteers? Annika, thank you. I believe that is the only two. Well, just one other one. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Thanks, Debbie. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. So tonight we have our monthly testimonies, favorites, and we've had some testimonies tonight. I appreciate those who share testimonies. Sometimes we don't share because we don't think we have anything earth-shattering, mind-blowing, anything exceptional, whatever. But I think it's important for us to share because so often, you know, we may put on a brave front and everything's just fine, and really, you know, we may go through some struggles, and maybe somebody else that's been through valleys similar, they give a testimony and it encourages us and lifts us up when we're in those situations. And so I think that it's good to hear what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. And of course, there are also testimonies of people saying, God spoke to my heart through this passage of Scripture. I was reading my Bible this week and God really blessed my heart. Those things are encouraging because it reminds us that God is at work in our hearts. God is at work in our lives. And that's so vitally important to know that God is at work every day in our life. Somebody may say to you, how do you know that God is? How do you know He exists? And you say, well, the creation is evidence. And it is. And you can say, well, the Bible is evidence. And it is. But isn't it a great thing to be able to say, I know that He lives because I know that He's done some things in my life. He's changed my life. He speaks to me through His Word. He gave me a blessing through being in church yesterday. Whatever the situation, that we can say, God is because I know He's real to me. And that's really what testimonies are, is just testifying to that. The word testimony means open attestation or profession. Witness, evidence, proof of some fact. It's saying, this is, I've experienced it. This afternoon, I was looking, I opened up my tablet at home onto the internet, and there was a thing, I didn't realize it was an infomercial, but it was about getting rid of your glasses. In 7 days, going from no matter what your prescription is to 20/20 in 7 days. So, it got my attention. I have a pretty strong prescription of glasses, and sometimes they get irritating. Those of you who wear glasses, you know. And so it hooked me in. I sat there. I couldn't see. It wouldn't tell me how long it was. So you just keep going and think, okay, when's he going to get to the point? Enough of the commercial stuff already. Let's get to the point and see where this goes. Well, you know, it was obviously selling something, and it's only $47, and you also get one of those kind of things. But after it was over, you know, they showed some people supposedly that had on the infomercial. I tried it. I couldn't believe it. It worked. So I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, just Google it, YouTube it, whatever, and see if anyone else, you know, experienced anything. But, you know, it's good to have the testimony of somebody, especially firsthand, who has said, yeah, this was the claim, and I tried it, and it worked. Now, often for stuff that's commercialized, you don't find too many people that are honestly saying, yes, I tried, and it worked. Only the people say that are the people who are paid to say that, the paid actors, which I had to chuckle because this guy said on his infomercial, he said he took three people off the street, supposedly, into his thing and showed them these exercises. In 10 minutes, their prescription had improved by one or two points. And so then he said at the end, so see, there you have it, you've seen it. It's like, no, we've seen three people that you have on your video. We don't know whether that's real. But a testimony is attesting to something and to the reality of something, witnessing to something being. And so tonight we have testimony time, testimony to the fact of who God is to us in our life, what He's done for us, whether it be when we got saved, whether it be a situation in our life, a verse of Scripture, a blessing that we've experienced, as some of those things that were shared with us this evening. You know, we don't realize the significance of our testimony sometimes, because we think, well, it's not a big deal, but it will impact somebody else's life. And we know that because God tells us to testify. And in the Scriptures, there are testimonies or testimonials of what God did in people's lives. Someone has Hebrews 11, verse number 5. It's quite a testimony, isn't it? Before he was translated, God took him. This is way back to Genesis chapter 5. I think, what does it say in Jude? He's the seventh from Adam, somewhere way back at the beginning. But before he was translated, before God took him, he had the testimony that he walked with God. People knew Enoch walks with God. He is a person who knows what it means to understand what God is saying, and God was real in his life. And so I'd like to just for a few minutes tonight think about the power of our testimony. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I should declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Here in these verses, David is giving a testimony. He's giving a testimony about his life and the circumstances that took place in his life. His testimony is about answered prayer. Because in verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. A cry, a call out to God, and David said, God heard my cry. David's testimony was about answered prayer. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord listened, and the Lord did something about my circumstances. He answered my prayer. Sometimes we read Bible stories about answered prayer and assume that it was just instant. Prayer was made and there was an instant answer. But you see what David said in his testimony here to us tonight? He said, I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto my cry. He waited patiently. If there was ever a Bible character who learned patience, of course Job is used in James as an illustration of patience, but David was a patient person. Not always, unfortunately, but in his life we do learn much about patience, patiently waiting on God's plan. Remember David was anointed the king when he was just looking after his father's sheep because he was just a young lad. He was at the backside of the wherever of, you know, his father's flocks, way off. And when Samuel came to anoint a king, Samuel's father had all the other sons there expecting it's going to be one of these. One of my boys is going to be the king. And Samuel, nope. Went through all of them. Well, don't you have any more sons? Well, there's one, but he's just a little guy. He's just out looking after the sheep. Well, go get him. That was the one who was anointed king. He was just a young lad, maybe a young teenager. After that, he got to go and fight Goliath. He was still just a youth. He became a armor bearer for Saul. He was still just a young man. Saul chased him around the wilderness. David got older. People gathered around him. He still didn't get to have the promise that was made to him. You're going to be the king. And he had to wait patiently for God to unfold that plan. And so his life is a testimony to the truth of patience in answered prayer. It teaches that God's timing is not ours, but he always fulfills his word. Here in a different situation in David's life, David said, I waited patiently, and God heard my cry. You know, sometimes you give a testimony of answered prayer, you may say, I prayed, and 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 God answered my prayer. And that may be just what somebody else needs to hear to say, oh, I thought God would, either he was going to do it or he's not. But as many times we have taught the children over many years in Sunday school and junior church and things like that, God's answers are yes, no, and wait. And the waiting is probably the hard. But David said, I've learned, and my testimony is, be patient, but God will hear your prayer. If you can give a testimony of answered prayer, that may be what somebody needs to hear. His testimony is about difficult circumstances because he said, verse 2, he was in a horrible pit. Doesn't sound like a very nice place to be in life, in a horrible pit, in the miry clay. You know, David wasn't using poetic license here to exaggerate his situation. David was realistically describing what actually was often a situation in his life. We said last week there were times when he was chased around by Saul, as we said a few minutes ago as well, and there were other times when his own son chased him out of the city. And there were times of great difficulty in David's life. He knew what it was to be in a horrible pit. It's not a very nice situation that he describes there. You know, sometimes we just need to be honest about where we are or where we were and what God did for us. Sometimes we like to, you know, well, you know, it wasn't that bad, and yeah, you know, everything seemed to work out. Sometimes we need to testify and just say, listen, I was in a bad place, but God helped me. Because somebody else may be in a bad place, and they may need just to hear us say that and hear a testimony of that. I don't mean to exaggerate and make it seem like really, really way worse than it was. I'm just saying sometimes we just need to be honest with one another in our testimony and just say, you know what? I've had some struggles, but God has been real to me. God has helped me through these things. And that may do more for somebody else than you are aware about. They may not tell you, but somebody else may say, whew, boy, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Because sometimes when you're going through something difficult, when you're in a horrible pit and your feet are in miry clay, you feel like nobody else is going through this. Because everyone else walks into church and they got smiles on their faces and everything looks like it's going great. So I must be the only one. But that's not always the case. Consider Paul's testimony in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 16. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I was a bad guy. I was not a good person. I was the chief of sinners. Did he say that to brag and make people go, oh, wow, Paul, well, tell us some great stories here. We want to hear how bad you were. No, what did he say? He said, I'm telling you this because I want you to know God saved me as the worst sinner so that people can know any time in the future by my testimony, God can save anybody. That was Paul's testimony. He said, for this cause, I obtained mercy. God saved me so that he could show through my testimony that he can save anybody. David said, I was in a bad way, but he says, God changed my life. And that's what Paul said, of course, in that as well. But David says here in verse 2, but God set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. A contrast to the miry clay, feet on a rock. That's a big difference, isn't it? You ever been in mud or some slushy snow and it's just like, oh man, where's the bottom of this? It's so slippery, there's no grip, there's no traction. And then you get onto the good, solid, hard ground. David said, I was taken out of the miry clay and I was put on the solid rock. Not only that, but he said, I was lifted out of that horrible pit and God has established my goings. I don't know about you, but I think of a pit as being a place of no escape. A pit is where you feel like you're stuck. David said, I was in a pit, but now God has established my goings. What are goings? That speaks of progress, of a path, of moving forward. And so his testimony was that God delivered me from what I was, and he took me from a place where I felt like I could not escape, and he's put me on a path with some direction and guidance for my life. God delivers us from bondage and gives us hope and direction, and we see that in David's life, and we can testify to that in our own, and we should share those testimonies of what God has done because it gives hope and encouragement to other people, and that's what we see just quickly in verses 3 to 5 tonight is the effect of David's testimony. David had a testimony. It was a testimony of answered prayer. It was a testimony of being taken from a difficult situation and a changed life, and it was the effect of it was that many would see it and would fear and would trust the Lord. Many would see it. There are basically two ways that people would know our testimony. Number one, they could see it. They can see what God's done in our life. People that knew you when you were not a Christian, and they see what God does in your life after you become a Christian, they can see a change. People that see you when you're going through a difficult time in your life, even as a Christian, they perhaps see the sadness on your face, the anxiety that you're dealing with, and they see then a joy return to you. They see your testimony. They can see it. They can see what God does in your heart and in your life. The other way, of course, is if you tell them. People that don't know you, didn't know you before you became a Christian, they don't know the change that God made because they don't know who you were before. People who didn't see you in a horrible pit, a difficult situation, a sad time in your Christian life, they can't see the change because they don't know the difficulty maybe, but now they can see the joy of the Lord, and they may say, well, this person's always happy. And you may say, you know what, it hasn't always been that way. I've been through some tough times and difficult times, but God has done this for me. And so David said, though, that people would see his testimony and they would be changed by it. We need to give our testimony and share our testimony, not so that people go, wow, aren't you amazing? But so they say, wow, God can do that, did that for you. God can do that for me as well. There's a big difference between the testimony of the Pharisee and the publican, isn't there? You know, the Pharisee's testimony, we would say, well, that's great that you're a good person. That's great that you give tithes. That's great that you do all those things that you're supposed to do. But the reason he gave it wasn't to give glory to God. The reason he gave it was to say, look at what a great person I am. The publican, on the other hand, smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me. He wasn't proud of what he'd done, but he was humbled that God would forgive him. But David said, if people hear my testimony or see my testimony, some will fear. Some will be afraid. When some people see what God can do, it brings fear to their life. They say, whoa. Remember the Canaanites, according to the testimony of Rahab? The fear of you people of Israel, it's all over the land. We're afraid of you. We feel like we're going to be destroyed. Fear came on them for what? The testimony of what God was doing in their life. They were afraid and they feared. We should desire that people would fear the Lord because it's the beginning of wisdom. But he goes on to say that then also people would trust the Lord, trust in the Lord at the end of verse 3. That's a great thing about a testimony, is that it can cause people to trust the Lord. To trust in what God has done for us and realize he can do it for them. Our testimony can inspire other people to trust in God. We can have a part in their salvation by our testimony. We can have a part in their growth as a Christian by our testimony. Again, I refer back to Rahab. Rahab said, the fear of you, Israelites, has come upon all of us. You know what the difference with Rahab was compared to the rest? Rahab said, I believe in your God. I believe that your God is the God, the true God. And she became a believer, as we would see it, a believer in the God of Israel. And ultimately, she became part of the lineage of Christ. Because she saw the testimony of what God did for Israel. She feared, yes, but then she trusted in the Lord. She believed and became a part of that group of believers, the people of Israel. Listen to what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. So our testimony was believed. It's Paul writing, and he said, our testimony was believed, and so because of that fact, the Lord will be glorified, and so on. And so there was a result. People believed because of their testimony, because of what they said about God. And so we need to realize that it would be great for us as people to give testimony, not just in church in a testimony situation. That's good. It's a great opportunity. But also in the workplace, in the home, and wherever, and say, well, God has done this for me, and talk about what God has done. You say, well, I don't know. What am I going to say? Well, think of what David says in verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which were to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. There's lots of things we can tell about really what God has done in our life, isn't there? We shouldn't say, I don't have anything to say. As a Christian, we always have something to say because God has done much for us in our life. And so think, as we leave here tonight, we go downstairs, have some fellowship, but think about the power of testimony, the power of our testimony here, out in the world, the testimony that that people see and the testimony that they hear from our lips. May we be people who are willing to share that testimony. Let's pray together.